What's it all for?
Various artists.
Fiona Connor is a Aotearoa-born artist currently based in LA. Connor has an expansive sculptural practice in which she produces site-specific installations that really play with the space's inherent architecture, developing this conceptually enriched sculptural language that seeks to shift objects and their environments through this process of reproduction. Her current show on At Coastal Signs, Blanket Games, includes five large-scale drawings of segments of hurricane fencing, in which Connor utilizes an alternative method of drawing, monoprinting, a method that demands a different kind of connection, allowing her to not only record the object of the fence itself, but also of her own body's movements during the making of the work. Smudges and scuffs made from the weight of her body while tracing the fence, intertwining with the woven marks of the lattice fence, creating a beautiful frottage of the body in its record of interaction. Alongside her individual practice, Connor is passionate about creating and being amongst artist-run initiatives. So in light of Connor's collaboration projects, I also spoke with her and Bailey Connolly about their latest artist-run collective, Polyhymnia. Here's the interview now. Enjoy.
My name's Fiona Connor, and I was born here in Aotearoa in 1981. And I've kind of lived half my life between here and the west coast of America. So there's been three or four different, movements back and forth. And this last movement, I've been based in LA for about 16 years, and I've been lucky enough to consistently been making exhibitions in some form or another since graduating from Elam in, 2004 or something.
Oh, beautiful. And you currently have a show that just opened at Coastal Signs titled Blanket Games, which presents a series of five large-scale drawings of lattice wire fencing. I'd like to start this conversation by speaking to the kind of beginnings of this project. Where did it kind of find its momentum? Did it come off the back of a previous work or kind of find its footing in something new?
I think, I've always found myself drawing and really, really enjoying it. And there are certain things that I really like to draw. And when I was, tramping, I'd, draw the chicken wire stretched over the boardwalks. And it was just it was so graphic and fun to draw, the way it, stretched and kind of described space. And then I just, kept on finding similar subjects. So it really came from, this kind of, focus or pleasure from drawing. And then that made me look at the way that you look through fences at landscape, and they become this kind of moody grid. I guess it kind of just came through looking and drawing.
Yeah, that fascination of those fences and kind of coming across them in your everyday life.
Both here and in Los Angeles, they're everywhere. Mm. And when you're driving around, you just find yourself kind of staring at them or walking around or whatever, and they become these amazing abstract relational things.
Mm.
And I found that kind of I guess you want to call it a net or a lattice or a topology, kind of for me indicated something that was very horizontal rather than something that was hierarchical. It was a mesh. That was a cool idea for drawing, something that was more of a treatment or a weaving as opposed to something that was more pictorial or something.
Yeah, through this process, you've really taken this object and flipped it on its axis, both physically and metaphorically. Do you want to speak a little bit to this act of shifting this fence and what it does to that object itself and how we kind of normally see that object?
Yeah, so just to, fill people in, the show is features these hurricane fence sections that are standardized fences normally used by the construction industry to sort of secure a lot. So they're these fence sections, and for the show I drew them, and so I went to the fence supplier and went through their used fences, their most damaged fences, and selected the kind of ones with holes in them and that were damaged. And so what the question was kind of about is I took these fences that are normally kind of cages or upright or walls, and then I lay them flat on the ground to draw them, and then I sat on top of them to draw them as well. So they became like platforms. And the weight of the fence and my body drawing them also like came through this carbon paper that I was drawing through. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, I noticed you've got these, these beautiful crisp lines of the fence, but also these really like rummagey scuff kind of, frottage and like tracing of your body, which I think is really beautiful. That's like that process doesn't only capture the objects itself, but your interaction with that object. Is that why you gravitated towards that print method of like monoprint?
Yeah. So I think like part of looking at fences was I was like, I just felt like they were really graphic, but there was also something where they framed the weather or like were very atmospheric. And so I was kind of interested in this like nuanced quality of them. They were kind of transparent or like they were porous. And so I guess the drawings are like both made by imprints, like the index of my body, and also by like drawing and tracing. And the idea of like that if when you combine those two kind of like lifelines of like trace, that maybe between them there is like something that feels evocative or, that feels like that grips you or grips your experience.
It's really lovely showing, I think maybe as a viewer, you don't often get to see all those little hidden traces in all those places where you've touched the work and you've interacted and really, I think it brings it like kind of closer to the body and you get like way more invested in it when you can kind of notice those little smudges or something that you don't think's quite gonna be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that like all over the gallery there are also these like signs of that we're living in a material reality where there's collisions and like incongruities and joins and decisions. So like in the gallery last night when people were hanging out against the wall, they left all these like smudges from rubbing.
I didn't know if that was you or just the people.
And then that like fully matched the drawing. And also like Coastal Signs is on Karanga Happy Road, which is like obviously like such a place of life and like supports so many different communities. But I'm also thinking about like the porosity of the gallery and like who enters and who doesn't, like how accessible is the work that gets shown in there. And like I think I wanted to kind of like acknowledge the site, I guess.
And I really loved the install of this work, especially at the crowded opening. It was really interesting seeing how these bodies moved within the space. This decision to install the works on the gallery floor really creates this almost game-like mode of navigation for the viewer, weaving through these narrow channeled pathways of the gallery floor, almost herding the viewers into a mode of experiencing or engaging the show, pivoting their path as well as kind of pivoting the whole gallery space itself. What led you into this, this really interesting mode of install?
So I was like really interested in, I guess I'm really invested in exhibition making. And I think for me that is like shows that really reward in-person viewership and walking around a series of works in architecture. Yeah. So like people call it different things, like a site-specific show or whatever. I mean, every work is site-specific, but some that I'm really interested in the exhibition form. But I found that like there was this kind of categorization that happened where if you want to make these like an exhibition that was site-specific or an intervention, it had to sort of be sculptural and heavy. So the show is like, I guess, it for me, it's about like what happens if a drawing show is an exhibition, what happens if a drawing show, I don't know, like is a performance, like it's linked to a place and a time and it isn't about something that's archivable, because drawing is like something that we can do by just picking up a pen. Like the paper in the show is like industrially produced paper. It was, so it was sort of like in this moment where everything feels so peaked in terms of like how much things cost, where their location is in the market. As artists, what, you know, how do we keep making the kind of work we want to make, which in my case is like working with architecture, but not having to make compromises for other security, I guess.
Yeah, seeing those, like, like those papers, like, you use in, like, primary school, art school, it's like something.
Yeah.
And seeing it's, like, it's not just one big sheet of paper there. You can see the connecting,
the
link up together, which, yeah, I think is really lovely. Yeah, and this drawing show, they don't, like, it doesn't normally alter a space that dramatically.
Yeah.
And I think really at the opening, it really shifted and, like, all these little pathways and maybe created little moments of interaction that you wouldn't normally have with people having to be like, I'll move this way, you move that way. I think, it was
very awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I heard that the other day somebody talking about, like, how art education is meant to be awkward, and awkwardness is a sign of learning. And I was, like, really thinking about my time at Elam and, like, just this kind of, these moments where you're faced with something that you don't all the way know, but you can get a sense of.
Mm. Yeah, and I also found the use of the weights very intriguing. These bronze casted objects of shoes, tape measures, screws, objects that one might find lying around an artist's studio, referencing the kind of behind the scenes installation process of a show. Was it important for you to point the viewer's attention to these kind of objects of labor rather than just use these generic weights?
I guess people have to go see the show and, like, see how it works for them, but I liked that they were kind of like two languages used. So the language of the drawings on the floor, like making pathways and like making territories and eddies and pools and stuff. And then this other layer of like these bronze cast paperweights that look like objects that you'd find around the gallery.
Mm.
And I guess why I think those are quite interesting. Like when I used to work in the garage with my dad, he knew all the heaviest stuff. So he'd pick the little shoebox the shoebox that had all the screws and nails was like one of the heavy things. And like the clamps and the hammers and the chains. And like, so there was like in his mind, like a list of the heaviest things in the garage that you'd use to like weigh things down.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was such a funny classification that, like, it's all about something's mass or volume as opposed to, like, what its intended use is.
Mm.
And I like this idea that, like, we can, like, different objects at different moments are legible for different things. Yeah.
And I also wanted to do a slight pivot and talk to you about Polyamnia.
Yeah.
Temporary Collective, a year-long series of solo exhibitions initiated by you and Bailey Connolly, who is here. Would you like to introduce yourself also?
Yeah, I'm Bailey. I live in Los Angeles, and I'm an artist working primarily in sculpture and also have been thinking about drawing.
Wonderful. And do you guys want to speak a little bit about how this collective came to be? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been like quite a long and natural itch that we've been scratching. So I guess essentially there was a very like natural coming together or like meetings of the minds that was, I'd say, like mostly visible in people's practices.
Mm.
And we, like Bailey and I noticed that like sculptors that we were really like, I don't know, inspired is such a cheesy word, but like sculptors that we were super inspired by had like really important drawing practices.
Mm.
But those practices were often playing like serving.
Serving
their sculptural.
Yeah.
And so we're in this moment when, as we were talking about this kind of like, this art world questioning of how it is coming to the table. It felt really important to sort of elevate these like economic, I guess, processes that like really show the hand, show working, show process. And yeah, so we just kind of worked through a format. And then now we have this kind of dialed in format. Yeah.
Wonderful. And do you want to speak a little bit about the plans for the collective, like what you have lined up for this?
Yeah, it's Fiona and myself, and then there's, I think, 8 other artists, 2 of which are working together sort of as one artist in the group. And then, so there's like 7 artists and then 7 different artist-run spaces, and we've sort of linked each of the artists with a space that feels natural for both of them, and then everyone's sort of situated pretty globally, spaced out, as are the spaces. And so over about what seems like it'll be a year and a half, all of these people will have a solo show that's related to drawing, whether it's physically drawing or not. And Justin Tenney's show at Treadler, called Engine, will be the third show in the series.
And since starting this collective, have you guys been meeting up and really leaning on each other and having like these discussions and kind of bouncing ideas between all of the artists?
Yeah, so that was like part of it was like, I think like peer-to-peer support is like super important, and I think the form that takes at its most basic level is like an interest in each other's work.
Which is so crucial.
Crucial. So like we just kind of create like simple possibilities of sharing and response. I mean, working with like the artists in the group, everybody's like a kind of like a cat, in that like you can't force a cat to sit on your lap. No, but like you have a nice warm lap, it'll probably make its way and start massaging you. And or it might not. So it's kind of like herding cats, starting a group of. But it's been like so far, like so, like genuinely. It feels like there's a sort of a genuineness. And so we started with artist talks. So the first exhibition hosted these talks and like gave every artist some money, and we just kind of basically spoke to each other. So we shared our drawing practices with each other in a very small, like, group of writers and whatnot. And then after every show opens, we do like a walkthrough with the artist and a discussion. And then we also like print and publish dialogues, which are artist to artist. So we're really trying to like create a discourse. And then we have a mailing list of people that we send the dialogues to.
Yeah, I think there's lots of I feel like it's based on conversation a lot, and as Fiona said, mutual support, and we're sort of creating ephemera and like sort of trails of things as it goes. And once all of the exhibitions happen, we'll, I think, put all of these materials into a catalog. And so that'll kind of be the next step, I think. And
That's so generous and welcoming. You don't really see a lot of the discourse behind a show or between artists. And I think, that's really lovely, opening up that space for younger artists or artists that aren't initially in that space of that discourse to get that invitation and that invite to create a wider knit community between all these ideas and people.
Yeah, and I think that's partly the artists we're working with too. So a lot of the people we work with make, perhaps you'd say, difficult work for the market, and there a lot of them have take pedagogy really seriously. So I think like the conversation is their discursive site or their feedback, and I think that's something that people share.
That was Fiona Connor speaking to me about her show on at Coastal Signs Blanket Games, which is on until the 14th of March. And that was also Bailey Connolly alongside Fiona Connor speaking to me about their artist-run collective Polyhymnia, which is currently presenting Justin Tenney's show Engine on at Treadler, which is on until the 13th of March. So be sure to check those out.